Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day with people talking about how much they love HR. So let's get right to this. I am so excited because I've actually got to meet our guest in person. We had met at HR Tech a little few weeks ago already, and it was awesome because I don't get to meet a lot of the folks we talk to in person always. So it was good to put kind of an IRL in place first. So, Yvonne Wu, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
So, if you would introduce yourself to our Drive Through HR family, and we'll kind of get rolling after that.
Sure. So I am a senior recruiter in a software company in Vancouver, BC, in Canada. So I've been doing recruiting for about 13 years now. And recently I have been casted in a contestant called Top Recruiter Competition of Miami. It's a web series, a reality show, which we filmed in Miami recently. And right now the show is on. You can check out the show on www.toprecruiter.tv, and you can vote for me there.
Nice. If you don't mind, so you could be doing a lot of different things. Obviously, you're super talented. Anyone that's looked at your LinkedIn bio or followed you or whatever knows that you're super talented. So why did you choose to put yourself out there like this? Why did you choose to do this?
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty easy decision to make. I had a chance to take a look at first season. I thought it was really tasteful. I thought it was just about time that we had a reality series about HR and specifically recruiting, because a lot of people don't realize the work that recruiters do and how easy we make the process for managers and candidates and the people we work with around us. And I thought it was just such a great show to be a part of, and definitely signed up right away when I was contacted by Chris Lavoie, the executive producer and creator of the show.
Oh, that's cool. Well, take us into your world, either with the show or even without. What's keeping you up? What's top of mind for you these days?
Well, I mean, you know, I was talking to Brian, and, you know, there was a lot of things I wanted to talk about today in terms of recruiting. And I think the typical things that recruiters want to talk about is sourcing and you know, finding candidates. But there's a lot of moving pieces that I think that I would like to talk about that people don't really see on the other side, is really building those relationships and doing the networking and doing the legwork, which makes recruiting successful. And for me, there's two aspects. You know, one thing is you need to build your relationship with people that you work with, whether it be hiring managers, and you need to build those relationships with people you work with, such as candidates. And without that, if you don't have that relationship, you know, you're pretty much blindsided by a lot of situations. So it really does take time to do that, but it's very rewarding towards the end when you do, you know, build out the relationship, and things definitely goes a lot smoother and you're not blindsided by situations.
What do you think we get wrong about recruiting, like people that are your non-recruiting friends? What are the stereotypes or the myths, or, you know, some of the just the things that they say to you or whatever? Like, what do you think they, as an outsiders, what do you think they get wrong about recruiting?
A lot of people who don't know recruiting think it's pretty much a piece of cake, I think. There's a lot of things involved, a lot of moving pieces, as I mentioned before. You know, it really is about getting to know the people that you work with and putting the time in it. And, you know, with managers, you know, that don't know you, it makes the situation so much easier, and, you know, you cooperate so much easier when you're in a situation and you get to talk and understand each other and how each other works, which makes the process flow so much better. And, you know, there's a lot of sourcing and strategy involved, which people don't see, because we make it so easy for managers that, you know, we present a candidate and it's already in their inbox. You know, we've done the pre-screen, we've done all the legwork, and they see the final product, whereas we kind of have to source and look for the candidates and do our network, understand the, you know, and do our research as to where we find the best candidates. And for me, that's kind of the rewarding piece, and I don't mind doing that, but people don't see that. And, you know, when people say, you know, all you do is submit a resume and, you know, you schedule interviews, you know, there's so much more to that I wish, you know, some people would understand and see. And, you know, same goes for, you know, candidates. You know, when we call them, you know, we've already done our research. We probably, you know, have sourced way, you know, a lot of candidates and talked to a lot of people before getting to them. So finding that one person really isn't as simple as, you know, what people think it actually is. And so for me, you know, I really would love for people to understand where recruiters come from. You know, we handle a lot of situations that come up unexpectedly, and there's a lot of, you know, fires to put out sometimes when things don't work out, but that's how recruiters react, and it does take a certain personality to become a recruiter, and you really do need to have that sense of urgency and the sense of understanding of what the situation is and handle things on the spot, and you do get put on the spot a lot in many situations, and you really do have to have that personality and the mentality to really just be a go-getter and to make things happen for everybody within the process.
Nice. In terms of like the recs that come to you, are you one to basically take the rec as it is and then run with it and kind of make things happen? Or do you find yourself going back to the hiring manager or going back to the person and kind of rebuilding the rec to make sure, you know, that you know that you, okay, you said bachelor required, but really what you mean is, like, do you find yourself taking it and run with it? Or going back with them, doing a little bit of archaeology, and maybe fixing it, if you will, and repairing the wreck before you kind of cast the nets?
Right. I think it's a partnership when it comes to working with the manager and being aligned with the goals of the company. So when I do get a requisition from a manager, I do have what I call a kickoff meeting where I try to understand what's going on in their department, what is the culture like within their department. I know there's a culture for every company, but within the culture of a company, every department is different. Sometimes you really need to think about what complements the team and what complements the company and where that fits in. So just because somebody has a skill set and has a right resume on paper, it doesn't actually mean they're right for your team or for the company if they don't have the right mentality or they're not a good cultural fit. Sometimes when you look at a team, you really need to balance out the team and make sure that, you know, if there's someone who's very strategic, you might want to hire someone who's less strategic, more quiet, or, you know, have other strengths that bring to the table. So sometimes within a team, you want to look within and make sure that you're hiring people that are not all the same, you know, maybe right cultural fit, but not all the same type of skill set, because you want each other to complement. Everyone has different strengths, so you want to make sure people bring out their strengths within the team.
Nice. Let's talk about candidates and truth. You know, and again, no value judgment coming from me, but there's warts. Every job, every company, every gig, there's always going to be warts that are there. Some recruiters kind of come at that and say, I'm going to sell you on all the other great stuff that's there and really not talk about the warts, but I'm going to sell you on all the other great stuff that's there. And then there are recruiters that take the opposite path that basically say, I'm going to tell you all about these warts. And I'm going to make sure that you know all about these warts. And then the other stuff, yeah, I'll kind of talk about it, but it won't be my emphasis. I'm going to really focus on the warts because that's the game. I need to get you to a place where you understand what it's like after the hire, et cetera. And again, no value judgment. What's your typical approach with candidates?
I try to give candidates a pretty honest opinion of what I feel like the department is like, an honest opinion as to what company is like. I think people will find out anyways when they start. So it's better to give them everything that they need to know for the role to make sure they're informed, making an informed decision. You know, it's just a waste of a company's time and money if you bring someone on board and you're not fully informed in terms of the decision that they made. So for me, I always definitely, you know, you want to sell the role and you want to give them the positives, but there's always some negatives to a role. So you want to make sure they're informed somewhat as to what the challenges are within the role or within that team so that, you know, they know what they're getting themselves into and not be blindsided and be surprised when you walk into a department or a company. Generally, I do ask, you know, the candidate to do some research on the company and get to know the culture as well. Depending on the role, they will be meeting with different individuals, you know, with the organization, and that will allow them to ask a lot of questions and to make sure that they're a good fit us as good as they're fit for us. So I do encourage candidates to do as much research and to meet with as many people that are relevant to the role as possible, depending on the interview process, and that will really help, you know, guide the candidate to make the decision that they think is right for them. So.
Nice. So we're real close to Halloween, so we can talk about horror stories, which I absolutely I think we could talk about horror stories all the time. I think it's a great way to teach and to learn.
Right.
So I want to kind of dig into two horror stories that you have, and anonymize all of this stuff, obviously. Horror story on the candidate side, horror story on the hiring, you know, manager on the rec side, so the internal stuff versus the external stuff.
Right.
And again, worst experience, horror story experience that you have?
For a candidate or for manager?
For both, actually. I'm greedy about that, Yvonne.
All right.
I actually want one on each side.
Okay. Well, okay, for a candidate, there's so many, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, recently I had a candidate who... I always do a pre-screen. So I do a phone interview initially because that will definitely save time for manager and for candidates just to make sure that things are aligned. And so for me, I scheduled that person and had a great interview. I was really impressed with the candidate. And then next thing you know, I'm trying to schedule a time for the person to come in, and she kept on rescheduling and whatnot. And, you know, she mentioned to me she was out of town, and I couldn't really understand, you know, she seemed really interested and I wasn't sure what was going on. And next thing you know, she sent me the wrong email. I think she was sending it to one of her friends or whatnot, but, you know, she's sending me an email about a going away party and she wasn't even in the same country as I was. And so I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I'm really confused. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I know, you know, she might be, you know, trying to organize a party, and then she ended up sending me that. And so she tried to email me back, trying to, take the email back, and she kind of called me, and she kept them, you know, she ended up stalking me and calling me every day trying to get that interview. But by that time, I was just really turned off. And for me, I was like, okay, this person is stalking me now. And I think the worst part for any recruiter is to have someone stalk you. And then she kept on coming up with all these stories and wouldn't leave me alone for about 2 weeks. And so for me, you know, that was horrible. And I didn't know, you know, what to say to her anymore. So I had to stop returning her calls. So that was one of the most horrible. I know it might not be too bad for some people, but for me, for someone who's trying to keep on calling me, it was horrible for me because she kept on making up stories. And I wasn't too thrilled about that. So.
And that's a pretty good one, actually. What about the client side? What about internally?
Internally, well, I think for me, it's, again, I always say it's about building relationships. You know, I have had a manager who used to be a recruiter, so he obviously thought he knew what he was doing in recruiting, and I was trying to partner with him, and, you know, he ended up obviously trying to guide me on how to recruit, even though I've been doing it for 13 years. And I was okay with that because I wanted to make sure I was flexible and I wanted to respect his experience as a recruiter and be able to work directly with him. However, you know, as a recruiter, we work very independently, right? And we know everybody has a different style. So for me to tell another recruiter exactly how to recruit, it's almost, you know, inappropriate because, you know, we have our own style. So no, there's no right way to do something. You know, there's different processes, but there's no right way to, you know, talk to somebody, or there's no right way to, you know, deal with a situation because it's really dependent on a candidate. So this manager, you know, he kept on giving me this, you know, guidelines, and he gave me these examples of how to handle situations. And for me, it was getting a little bit much, and finally I had to tell him. But, you know, he was insisting, and so he actually came up to me and was even checking on my job postings. He wanted to tell me how to correct words on my job postings, even though we worked together, and he kept on changing things every time. And so for me, you know, I really had to stand up to him. Because he was coming to my desk every day trying to tell me how I could change recruiting and how I can change, you know, the way I work with him. And I was open to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, recruiters aren't usually micromanaged. And, you know, I had to really step up and just let him know directly, you know, why I was handling things a certain way, and that, you know, if I am doing recruiting, just let me handle it. And if he's doing a certain role, I'm not going to go tell him how to do his role. So we had a really honest conversation, and that worked out okay. But, you know, I think the thing for a recruiter is for a hiring manager to co-manage and to check up on your job postings and check up on your processes. I mean, I give updates all the time, but every day coming to me and just trying to figure out exactly, you know, where I'm at, it's a bit much for me and a bit of a micromanager. So I, you know, that was to deal with.
Yvonne, let me do a quick reset, everybody. This is Brian and William on Drive to HR. We are talking with Yvonne Wu. And Yvonne, what's one of the most exciting things that you see kind of on the horizon of recruiting coming up?
You know, a lot of things in terms of recruitment I'm really excited about is, you know, working with social media. And I think that's the up-and-coming thing right now for all recruiters because it really gets the word out there for a very low cost. And, you know, it's something that – that's actually the way how I got on Top Recruiter, the reality series. But, you know, it really gives you an opportunity to reach out to people that you're not able to contact directly. So, you know, when you're connecting with people on Twitter and you're messaging people, it really allows you to expand your network and to really expand, you know, your roles into candidates that, you know, might not know your company. And it's such a great way to brand the role of the company itself. So for me, one of the exciting things for me is the branding. And the branding, you know, there's so much to do, and, you know, social media is just one aspect. You know, it's something that I think all recruiters should really think about, because it's kind of something that really will get you out there and to get the network going. So,
yeah, that's, you know, and I think that's what's probably confused the marketplace just as much as there's a big opportunity, is because social media, again, we're back to there's no real rules to it. There's a lot of different ways to approach kind of your conversation and building community and building your book. Your book of business, so to speak, and your pipeline. So what's, you know, what are some of the tools? I mean, what's your favorite tool to go out and kind of do your intelligence gathering on talent?
I think most people would agree that, you know, LinkedIn is one of the things that most recruiters use, because you really do get to see what their skill sets are, get to contact them directly. It's kind of a way to rebuild your network and really get to know people, because you do need testimonials as well on their profile. And that does a lot, I think. And, you know, sometimes it's good to kind of do your research as a recruiter to make sure that, you know, you're getting some feedback prior to contacting the candidate to make sure that they have the right skill set, or, you know, it is what you're looking for, type of personality and whatnot. And some people even build their LinkedIn profiles as resumes, hoping to be contacted and hoping to build their network. So that's such a great way for recruiters just to really source candidates and to really find a lot of quality candidates through that tool. So I really enjoy using that.
Nice. And that was a great question, Brian. I think, Yvonne, a broader technology stack, a recruiting stack that you separate these things, I'm sure, into your must-haves, you know, versus your optionals. When you walk into a situation, what are the recruiting technologies that you have to have to do your job, and which ones that you're kind of interested in, but they're kind of optional to your job?
I think for me, LinkedIn was, you know, one of the things I always ask for, especially the LinkedIn recruiter, because that's a tool where we can really source candidates, contact candidates, and to, you know, really, really do our network. And so I think most recruiters out there have this tool, and when I did one of my roles, that's the first thing I ask for, because that will really help recruiters recruit to a different level. And, you know, that's something I really, really believe in. And in terms of, you know, optional things, some people might not be using Twitter. Some people use Facebook. I think it's a good way to brand the company. I think it's a great way to get some leads. And I think if you're going to do something like that in terms of, you know, putting your company on Facebook and to really have a page there, it better be good, because, you know, you always have to update it. And if you're kind of falling behind, it will set kind of your reputation, obviously, and, you know, your statuses will not be up to date. And so when candidates go to those pages, it has to be up to date. It has to be current, and updated, you know, information should be there. And so it is time consuming if you don't have a dedicated person doing it, but you know, that is optional, but it's also very important. If you want to do it, it better be good. So.
Nice. Quick question about gender in recruiting. Is it, mm-hmm. you know, from your experience, does being a woman recruiter, does it work today? Does it work for you or against you?
You know, I don't know if that really matters. Whether or not you're male or female as a recruiter, I think it really depends on the individual. And there's different types of recruiters. Some recruiters are a little bit more aggressive. Some recruiters use their personalities to recruit and to kind of build their network. And I think I'm not sure if it really matters in terms of gender as opposed to how you recruit. So I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. I would love to believe that, actually. I mean, I obviously believe you. I wish our society was there on so many levels. Let's talk a little bit about Top Recruiter. What was it like behind the scenes, not divulging any trade secrets? We're not going to ask you about trade secrets. We're not going to ask you about that stuff. But what was it like to work with other recruiters? What was it like to work with Chris? And just if you can, the things that you can tell us behind the veil, kind of take our audience into that world.
Sure. It was an experience of a lifetime. Let's start with that. And there's a lot of things that happened that I never imagined happening. And working with Clavois and Maury, who is also a producer on the show, they made it so much more easy and seamless for us to be there because they made our situation a lot more comfortable than expected. They put a lot of thought into, you know, the challenges that we had to go through. And the actual recruiters that showed up and were other contestants, we all were very, very different, and we all had to live in a mansion together. And so that was quite challenging because, you know, you have all these A-type personalities. We're all recruiters. We're all go-getters, and we're all competitive being in the same house. And, you know, we're trying to figure out who each other are and, you know, who's the strongest and who's the weakest and all that. And, you know, it does cause a bit of anxiety and nervousness, right, going into situations because we never knew what we're getting ourselves into until the challenge began. So when we're put into a van and say, oh, we're going on set today, we never knew where we were going until we got there. And then when we got there, they're telling the challenges, and every challenge had a twist. So when we showed up, it was always quite nerve-wracking as to what was going to happen during that time. So it was definitely an incredible experience, and you know, if you watched the last episode, I think Brian watched it. It was kind of intense moments. We had to kind of be in what we call the King's Den. It was kind of like the boardroom, and we always had to face the host, who was Alex King, and he always questioned us and just uncomfortable, and he put us on the spot. So we would feel uncomfortable, and I think that's what people like to see is that we get caught off guard situations, and we have to recover somehow, and we have to really think on our toes. And that's the best part about the show is that we really do see our personalities, and in every episode in the beginning, there's always about a recruiter who is on the show, and it really talks about us as individuals, and you know, it gives the people who are watching the show an opportunity to know who we are as people, and not just people on the show, but it really talks about our personal stories and some traumatic experiences that we've gone through at some point in our lives. And so that, you know, really is the bread and butter of the show, is really people getting to know who we are and then seeing us in challenges so they can relate to us as recruiters and as individuals.
Yeah, the tension moments were actually really good with Alex and the board. I had to rewind those a couple times just to see the pain on people's face. That was kind of cool. So congrats, by the way, for, you know, you won the challenge. And I've actually
Thank
got questions.
You.
Part of the reason that, you know, I think they said you won and that I felt was a differentiator too was you reaching out to outside, you know, within your network and finding somebody mm-hmm. who could actually give you a little, you know, kind of intelligence gathering around developer information. So mm-hmm. is that kind of how you roll? Is you use all your resources and there's really no areas that you're not going to explore?
Yeah, again, it comes back to the relationship building piece that I talked about earlier on the show, is that, you know, I've built my network. I know who people are in specific industries. So when I do have a role, for example, in the challenge, it was a game designer engineer, and I have never recruited for that type of role before. Somehow I got the most candidates, but it's because I've done my networking prior to being on the show, and I've done my research on, you know, certain organizations and associations, which is really important. I've gotten a lot of contacts, and that allowed me to really expand the search, and they allowed me to find the most candidates. And that's, again, you know, really important for recruiting, is to build your network and to build those relationships to be able to find those candidates. And so it applies to me in my current role, where when I have a difficult to find position, I reach out to all my networks that I know in a specific location to find this candidate, to ask people to recommend places or recommend, you know, websites or anything like that, so I can start my research, and you get a head start when you have information, and that will really speed up the process in terms of the recruiting for this role, for a specific role.
Well, that's thank you for sharing that. I thought that was it was a really good episode for sure, and because especially because it was gaming. I mean, you were trying to find game developers, which is such a high demand, hard thing to find for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Put an interesting kind of twist on it for sure. So, what is, and I love asking this question, what's one thing that people should just stop doing? If you're out there recruiting, what is something you should, in your opinion, should people just quit doing it? It's not worth the time. It just kind of makes you a little bit angry at times when you see it.
When recruiters see,
for
recruiters or for candidates?
For recruiters.
Okay. I think for recruiters, sometimes, you know, I've seen recruiters where they build relationships, but they get too close to candidates. They get a bit too chummy. And I think, you know, there's a certain line to be drawn. It's good to build relationships with candidates. I think it's good to know, you know, so you're not blindsided if they have another offer and you understand what their situation, but you're not their friend. Right, you're their recruiter. You still have to keep it professional. Sometimes people cross the line and become too chummy with their candidates, and I think you know, it just seems a bit unprofessional sometimes. And so for me, I like to keep that professional line between candidates and being a recruiter, because it is a professional environment, and that's kind of how I like to keep it.
Well, and that's a great way to wrap the show up. We are out of time. Where can folks connect with you? Where can they watch episodes? Share that with us, and then we're going to roll on out. Thank you for spending lunch with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. And, again, if you want to watch the Top Recruiter show, it's www.toprecruiter.tv. And vote for me.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody, definitely give some drive-through HR love out there to Top Recruiter. And actually, in a week or two, we're going to have Chris and some more of the crew on and talk about that. We're out of here. Have a good rest of the day. Mm-hmm.